Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone. Appreciate you joining me for another one of these Monday episodes where we talk about the key injuries from Sunday. We take a look ahead at all the top waiver wire pickups. And let's face it, most of those waiver wire pickups end up coming about just because somebody got hurt on the depth chart in front of them, which is unfortunate, but that's how it happens, right? An opportunity opens, next man up seizes it. So let's get you everything you need to know injury-wise from week six, and then we could turn our attention to week seven and those big waiver wire ads for you. And we'll start with the Browns here, who are just dealing with a ton of injuries on that offense. We got Nick Chubb, who missed the game with a calf issue. Kareem Hunt suited up, but he was playing through wrist and knee injuries. Baker Mayfield was out there despite a shoulder problem. And Hunt and Mayfield, even though they played, seemed like they got hurt even worse on Sunday. We got Odell Beckham also dinged up in that game. And it's important to note with all these Browns injuries, they play on Thursday night. They're going up against the Broncos in week seven here in a real short turnaround. So not a lot of time to get these guys healthy. But let's focus on the backfield first. So Chubb was ruled out. Kevin Stefanski spoke on Monday. He said Chubb's progressing. There's at least a chance he could be available for this Thursday game. That's definitely not the case for Hunt. Hunt got carted off in this one. And it was a calf injury this time. It wasn't the wrist or the knee problem. And it also wasn't an Achilles, which is what some people kind of speculated early on. So potentially dodged a bullet there. Still, Hunt's going to head to IR. Stefanski said it's going to be a longer absence than just that required 3 weeks when you go on IR. So you got to expect to be without Hunt for a while here. And then if Chubb can't play on the Thursday game, D'Ernest Johnson could get the start with Demetri Felton helping him out as that pass-catching specialist, but we'll talk more about those guys in the waiver wire section. Seems like Chubb's going to be back pretty soon, though. If not this week, maybe next week, so that makes Johnson and Felton a little less impactful as far as pickups go on the waiver wire. We're not done with the Browns, though, so we got to talk about Mayfield and OBJ. So Mayfield, his arm was in a sling after the game. He aggravated that shoulder issue. Looked like he dislocated it another time here. He played through it. Continues to say that he's going to keep gutting it out and try to put off surgery until after the season. Now, I already mentioned him as a drop in recent weeks here. Somehow he's still rostered in 58% of leagues, despite really he's only had one good fantasy outing this season. And that shoulder issue, it's not going to get any better here. Plus, he plays that Broncos defense on Thursday, which isn't a great matchup. I know Derek Carr had an okay game against them this week, but I would not bet on Mayfield having a big game there, especially if Odell Beckham's at less than 100%. Now, Beckham suffered a shoulder injury in the first half of this week's game. He also played through it. He should be fine to suit up on Thursday here, but we'll see what the diagnosis is for him. We'll see what his practice participation's like early in the week, and then we'll go from there. And Jarvis Landry might be back for this game, so that could help the Browns overall, but really it would only make things more complicated fantasy-wise for Beckham, who Beckham's already been struggling to put up big numbers. Now he's got the shoulder injury, going to have Landry back stealing some targets. Really just a problem all around in that passing attack. But that's enough of the Browns. We start off, we had to hit on all those injuries there. It was important, but let's stick with running backs. Antonio Gibson's been playing through the stress fracture in his shin, and he says it's a pain management thing. It was clearly bothering him on Sunday. He had to come out of the game a bunch of times. Ron Rivera admitted that it was an issue for Gibson this week. So we'll see how they decide to approach it. He's going to get reevaluated on Monday. It's possible he tries to keep playing through it. I feel like at some point they're going to have to let him rest a bit here. I don't know what the exact time that he would need to kind of rest that up. I think it will be longer than just a week or so, but they do have a bye coming up in week nine. That could factor in here. Either way, JD McKissick needs to be rostered. Soaked up more work this week. I also mentioned Jared Patterson last week, listed him as a stash and start, sit, stash, quit. Did it for this very reason. If Gibson continued to play through this injury, you figure at some point it's going to get worse and he might need to sit out. So if Gibson misses, McKissick will be an RB3 with RB2 upside. Patterson would be on the flex radar. The Seahawks, another team here with a bunch of injuries on offense. Russell Wilson out after the finger surgery. Chris Carson's been sidelined with a neck issue. And now Carson's backup could be in danger of missing time. Alex Collins, so dealing with a glute and quad issue. That's what they've listed it as. He had a great game going here. Tough matchup against the Steelers' run defense. Put up 101 rushing yards and a touchdown on 20 carries. And if you think it was boosted by overtime, that's where you're wrong, because he had this injury, didn't really play late in the game at all. So Pete Carroll said he did take a couple big hits, might be able to play in week seven, didn't rule him out at all. It's also worth noting, Carroll did say last week, and he confirmed on Monday, Rashad Penny is slated to return in week 7. So if Collins is nicked up, maybe we see Penny get a shot out there. That being said, I think we know how this works with Penny, right? He's just never been able to stay healthy. So yes, stash him. I will be doing that. But don't get your hopes too high for him. And with all the uncertainty here, you could also consider stashing DJ Dallas, who had 9 touches in the game. 5 of them were receptions, had 50 yards from scrimmage. It really was good enough to have a double-digit fantasy point day in PPR leagues. So not really a season changer or anything, but a name to keep in mind, just depending how it all shakes out and whether Collins is going to be out there or not. Latavius Murray, he suffered an ankle injury of really unknown severity at this point. I'm sure we're going to find out more details on Monday, but there's a good chance that he's going to miss week 7, especially with the Ravens on bye in week 8. You figure they hold him out. So maybe we see Tyson Williams activated again. He still, to me, looks like the best back in this team, but they've been rotating him with Le'Veon Bell, kind of had one of them activated and one of them inactive each week the last few weeks. Otherwise, it's going to be some combination of Bell and Devonta Freeman, and they don't look awful. They just don't look like they have that much left in the tank. They're not really difference makers. They'll get what's blocked out there. Either way, these guys kind of remain touchdown-dependent options, really all the backs in that offense do, and not really great plays fantasy-wise because of it. And it's weird to say that about a Ravens backfield, but that's where we're at this point. A couple more injuries to note here. Dak Prescott, so he apparently suffered a calf strain on the final play of the game when he hit CeeDee Lamb for that score. The good news, though, here, the Cowboys are off next week, so you don't really have to worry about it too much, I don't think. As long as it's on the minor side of things, he should be back in week 8, and we haven't heard anything right now that makes it sound like it's too serious. Kadarius Toney, all the hype, all the excitement over what he did the last couple weeks here, he entered the game with an ankle injury, left in the first quarter after he aggravated it, and just like that, done for the day. So he might need a week or two to get healthy here. We should have a better timeline on Monday for him, but I'd expect him to miss at least a game. And then we'll see where Kenny Golladay is. We'll see where Saquon Barkley is. Those guys both recovering, trying to get back out in the field. Just a lot of moving pieces in that Giants offense right now makes it hard to project until we know more. T.Y. Hilton, Paris Campbell, a right quad injury for Hilton, a foot injury for Campbell. Hilton was actually playing pretty well his first game back here. Then he suffered the quad injury, which I guess might not be that surprising considering how much time he missed before this, but could cost him to sit a week or so. We'll see. Losing Campbell to a foot injury in this game, just the worst after he was kind of coming on the last couple weeks. Caught a 51-yard touchdown in this game before he got hurt, and this one's even more concerning because he's dealt with foot issues before and he's dealt with a bunch of injuries in his young career here. Wouldn't be surprised if this keeps him out for a bit. So Michael Pittman remains the receiver to roster in fantasy for the Colts. Zach Pascal, that dart throw flex. And then we'll see if Hilton can stay healthy and give us something. I'm still keeping my expectations pretty low for him. He has a history of doing well against the Texans. So it was a good matchup for him this week and came back a veteran coming back with all that rest. Might have a lot more in week 1 versus, you know, another game as he moved forward in the season here at his age. So not sure he's going to be a consistent fantasy option even when he's healthy, but we'll monitor that injury. And then just quickly, some guys who missed week 6, but we're going to have to continue to monitor here to see if they can get back in week 7. Barkley and Golladay, I mentioned. Damian Williams, Devontae Parker, Curtis Samuel, Rob Gronkowski, Dallas Goedert on the COVID list last week. I know Damian Williams also on the COVID list, and they announced today that he's not off the list yet. So really got to watch those guys. You don't know how it's going to affect each person. Some guys get back quick. Some guys it takes a little longer. Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, they were on bye, but they're kind of in that race to see who can get healthy first here. Kyle Shanahan made it seem like that was going to be Garoppolo and that Jimmy G'd probably get the nod for week 7, but we'll keep watching that. And then some stars who have been on the PUP list or on injured reserve, but they're eligible to be activated this week. Michael Thomas, Jerry Jeudy, Michael Gallup, Jarvis Landry, Jeff Wilson. Might be another week or two before we see some of them. And, you know, some guys, especially with a guy like Jeff Wilson, I think it's going to be a little longer. But just keep them in mind now that they're able to be activated. All right, I think that's all for the important injuries that I had written down here. And that brings us to the waiver wire ads for week 7. And I'll have the full waiver wire column up on Monday at the score. For now, I just want to discuss the top names you're going to be seeing in there. The article goes deep at every position, but today we're just going to roll through the big ads you should be considering. And it's particularly notable since we have 6 teams on bye this week, so you're likely going to need some help somewhere on your roster. Let's start with quarterbacks, and I'm kicking it off with the same guy that I wrote up as a featured QB last week, Tua Tagovailoa, 17% rostered, playing the Falcons this week. So he returned from IR, threw for 329 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also tossed a pick, but fantasy-wise, that kind of got offset because he rushed for 22 yards on the ground. And I know the volume was particularly high here, 47 attempts. And yeah, Tua makes the odd dumb pass. That interception was pretty bad, but overall, I really like what I'm seeing from him. And he gets the Falcons this week. They're giving up the fourth most fantasy points to quarterbacks before week 6. Then he has the Bills. That's a tough one. Might need to have another option for that game. But the Texans in week 8, also a pretty good matchup for Tua. So if you're hurting at quarterback, Tua could be a great one-week fill-in, maybe even a long-term starter here, especially if Devontae Parker, if Will Fuller, if those guys can eventually get healthy. We haven't really seen this offense at full power yet, so I want to see what this passing attack can do when all those weapons that they brought in are out there. It's definitely going to help Tua. He could have a great rest of the season. Jameis Winston, 37% rostered at Seattle this week. Saints coming off their bye. Seattle, fairly average matchup for quarterbacks, but Jameis's last outing, that 4-touchdown effort in the win over Washington, and that's his second monster game of the year. You remember week 1 at the 5-touchdown game against the Packers, and it's a risk. Anytime you put him in your lineup, it's a risk, because playing him, it's like playing roulette, right? You could win big, you could lose everything. Just depends where that ball's going to land, because you know he's going to toss up a couple of those prayers every single week, but I don't mind Jameis as a streamer and possibly a starter for the next little bit here. He's got a revenge game against the Bucs in week 8, and we know they're a pass funnel. And then the Falcons in week 9, the Titans in week 10. So this is his shot, really, to get going, to establish himself as the Saints starting quarterback moving forward. A few other decent streamers and stash options you could look at in the article, depending how deep of a league you're in, obviously. Shallower leagues, you should still be stashing guys like Trey Lance. I don't know that he's going to play in week 7, but at some point here, I still feel like he's going to get in there in that 49ers schedule the second half of the season, either because Jimmy G kind of loses the job or because the 49ers fall out of the playoff race, which is still possible when you look at their record and that division right now. So if they fall out of the race, then they definitely would go to Lance later in the season and he'd be able to take advantage of that schedule. In deeper leagues, Superflex, 2QB, Case Keenum should be on your radar now. With Baker banged up, Case Keenum could end up getting some starts. Cam Newton, he's also made it clear here, he got vaccinated. He's kind of doing like the press tour to try to drum up some interest. He said that he's talked to a bunch of different teams, and he said he got some offers as well. Who knows if that's true so far or not, but Pete Carroll did admit that the Seahawks spoke to him after Russell Wilson got hurt, that they reached out to Cam. Seemed like they were just doing their due diligence there. Didn't really go anywhere, but either way, Cam could get signed at some point, so got to keep him in mind as a 2QB and super flex option. I'll let you check out the rest of the names in that column, the rest of the streamer options, the bye week fill-ins, all those guys. I break it down in there so you can look at the other options in the article. We'll slide to running backs now. Make sure Michael Carter's rostered everywhere. He's over the 50% cutoff line, but found the end zone in back-to-back weeks before the Jets bye. Really had 3 decent fantasy days in his last 4 games, so needs to be rostered in case we get that second half breakout. Because remember, rookie running backs coming off the bye, sometimes that's when we see them pop. As far as other options go, it's kind of a mess this week, but we'll go through them. D'Ernest Johnson and Demetric Felton, who we talked about. So Johnson, 2% rostered. Felton, 9% rostered. Going up against Denver, like I mentioned. Really up in the air, though. If I had to guess right now, I would guess that Chubb doesn't play this week. So I think you could get Johnson out there as a flex option. Just that 1 week kind of fill-in. That really short turnaround is going to make it tough for Chubb, I think. But it's possible they could get him back, in which case Johnson and Felton would really just be dart throw flex options and bench stashes just in case Chubb aggravates his injury. And if Chubb doesn't go, then Johnson's an RB3 flex, Felton a risky flex in PPR and half PPR leagues. Johnson would serve for sure as the lead back if Chubb isn't out there with Hunt not out there. Johnson would be that early down guy, the lead back. Felton working in as that receiving option. And aside from Najee Harris, the Broncos have been a pretty tough matchup on the ground for most backs. So not a great one for that banged up Browns offense. And I'd keep your bids in check because of that here. It's a weird week, like I said. So let's go through some of these other ones. I mean, Washington, we don't know if Antonio Gibson's going to miss any time or if he's going to continue to play through the pain. So that makes JD McKissick someone who probably should be picked up regardless. He's already rostered, though, in 42% of leagues. Jared Patterson, that intriguing stash, he's only rostered in 1% of leagues. The Seahawks have Chris Carson on IR. Alex Collins still has that chance to play in week 7 like we talked about. And with Rashad Penny coming back this week, he's got to be picked up everywhere because he could run away with this job. Remember, the guy has the draft capital still. I know it was several years ago now, but if he could ever stay healthy, I doubt that's going to happen, but if he could ever stay healthy, it's within his range of outcomes that he could just perform really well and take this job, even away from Chris Carson. If Carson has this chronic neck issue, it's going to bother him for the rest of the year. Penny comes out and plays really well, could be his job. Now, at the same time, if Alex Collins continues to perform the way he did this week, maybe he holds off Penny. Maybe Penny gets dinged up again. Just a lot of possibilities there. But I think Penny should be picked up. And definitely, if Alex Collins is still out there, make sure that he's rostered. Similarly, with the Ravens backfield, I expect Murray to be out this week. We don't have any clarity on who would be the main beneficiary, though, and the answer might be all of them. You look at them right now, Devonta Freeman, 2% rostered, Le'Veon Bell, 7% rostered, Tyson Williams, 16% rostered. Metrics-wise, eye test-wise, Williams appears to be the best of that group, but the Ravens coaches, they must not trust him in certain situations. They must feel better with the vets out there. So it's probably going to be a frustrating committee, and that means these guys are all just going to be really risky flexes. And then I'll say his name again, but Marlon Mack, 30% rostered. We're stashing him in hopes that he gets traded to a team that is going to use him more, maybe ends up on a team like the Ravens or another contender, another good offense out there for the second half of the season. At least worth a stash until the trade deadline comes up. And we'll get more information on those backfields today. We'll get more information Tuesday. I'll keep watching for that. I'll update the waiver wire column if anything big comes down. Hopefully we get some news that gives us a better idea who to target there, because right now it's a bit of a crapshoot. At receiver, guys like Henry Ruggs, Sterling Shepard, Mecole Hardman, they're all over that 50% cutoff line. They need to be rostered everywhere, though. Some guys that are close to that line that should also be rostered: Darnell Mooney, Rondell Moore, AJ Green, Christian Kirk. I know the Cardinals receivers can be a little frustrating, but we're getting big games from them. Might not be every week, but we're getting some big games from those guys. They got to be rostered. They shouldn't be sitting out there. Rashad Bateman, 28% rostered, playing the Bengals this week. He's coming off that nice debut, and I know the numbers weren't huge. The team talked about ramping him up slowly. Comes out, plays 65% of the snaps in his debut, caught 4 of 6 targets, 29 yards. Doesn't seem like much, but he looked like he belonged out there, and that's really important for rookies. He was making plays. He was getting first downs. Now, will he be affected by Sammy Watkins potentially coming back in week 7? We don't really know. This Ravens coaching staff, obviously in the backfield, they tend to favor these veteran guys, but I would bet on a rookie first rounder being given more and more work as we go over a veteran who's dealt with injuries, generally just been a disappointing bit player for most of his career in Watkins, right? So get Bateman while you still have the chance. Get him on your bench. Don't put him in your lineup yet. Let's see if he continues to ramp up like they said they were going to. I don't know if any of you heard of this Tim Patrick guy. We've definitely never mentioned him on the show before. Certainly not somebody that I talk about every single week, but it is crazy. Still up there in 65% of leagues. He has 89 yards or a touchdown in 5 of his 6 games this year. That one down week had 39 yards, and it was in the game where Teddy Bridgewater got concussed and left partway through. Either way, Patrick should be rostered until we know what's happening with Jerry Jeudy. Patrick needs to be on a fantasy team. Jeudy is eligible to come back now, but we don't know exactly when he's going to get back in the lineup. Vic Fangio said this week that he'll practice, but that his chances of playing in week 7 are probably less than 50% at this point. So if he's still out, Patrick can continue to be used as a wide receiver 3. Same goes for Marquez Callaway, 34% rostered. Michael Thomas, eligible to come back now. When will he be back? We're not sure. It's probably going to be another week or so. Callaway remains a flex option until Thomas comes back. And I could keep going here. Jamison Crowder, Jamal Agnew's been getting a lot of work the last couple weeks. So there's a lot of names we're checking out in the column. Let's finish off with tight ends, though. If Zach Ertz is still out there, he's 60% rostered. But if he's on the waiver wire in your league, he would be the top tight end ad. Otherwise, Ricky Seals-Jones, by a wide margin, really. He's been performing really well. 29% rostered. Plays Green Bay this week. I don't really care about the opponent. What I do care about is he's basically just stepped into the Logan Thomas role. Played 93%, 99%, and 100% of the snaps the last 3 weeks. He has stat lines here of 5 for 41, 4 for 58, and 1 over his last 2 games. he's a top 12 fantasy tight end for as long as Logan Thomas misses, and Thomas can't be activated until week 8, so we get at least one more game with RSJ as a quality fantasy play. And then other than him, really just the usual risky tight ends. You know, we did see a little more from some of the younger guys, Cole Kmet on the Bears, OJ Howard on the Bucks, Pat Freiermuth on the Steelers, something to monitor. Not getting overly excited about any of them, but with all those bye weeks hitting you hard, maybe you don't have a better option. They could be guys that you could consider this week. And that's all for today's show. Make sure you check out that full waiver wire column on The Score Monday night. I'll be back on Wednesday with the Week 7 preview episode, but until then, big thanks to all the NFL medical staffs for everything they're doing. You see some of those more serious injuries and players having to be carted off, and I don't think we appreciate the job some of those folks are doing to get players off the field safely, to get them the best treatment possible. So big thanks to them. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby, said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight, I said.